is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
It is January 2025. The new president of the United States' inauguration at the 75th anniversary of the National Security Council / 68, Harry Truman's document of the U.S. Cold War strategy. What is to be done? I welcome John Bolton, writing at the Wall Street Journal most recently on NSC 68, the 75th anniversary, and a recommendation to the next president of the United States. John is a former national security advisor, former ambassador to the UN, looking at the world right now as a very unhappy and challenging place because of the alliance of two nuclear powers, both of whom demonstrate aggression to their neighborhood. John, a very good evening to you. What is NSC 68, and what does it tell us about where we are today? Good evening.
Good evening. Well, it was really, as you say, the foundational document of American Cold War strategy, written largely by Paul Nitze of the State Department. And it formed the basis of our policy for 20 years, you could say. I mean, there were variations, but it was a very long-range, insightful document. And we've had updates of it and whatnot, but we're in a new era. History is moving very fast. Obviously, the Cold War is over, but so is the post-Cold War era over. And as you mentioned, the axis, which is really what it is now between China and Russia, along with their outriders in Iran and North Korea, will present us right now, will certainly present the new president with huge challenges. And to deal with them effectively, you need to have a strategy. You can't proceed as we have for too long on a completely ad hoc basis.
We begin. The first recommendation. John, we need shipyards. What else do we need?
Well, we need a massively increased defense budget, and I think people ought to get used to it. My recommendation is we go back to Reagan-era levels, 5-6% of GDP, not the 3% we're at now. We're faced with challenges all across the spectrum, and we've spent years, really, since the end of the Cold War in 1991, when people declared the end of history and the famous peace dividend, we have been underspending on defense. And we can see that in the war in Ukraine now. We've given Ukraine 40% of our Javelin anti-tank missiles. I don't regret doing it, but we don't have the capacity to refill that quickly, and we need it. So we need big increases in defense spending across the board. For those of us who would like to cut the federal deficit, and which is important for the underlying economic strength of America that gives us the capacity to have a large defense budget, we're going to have to cut more welfare programs as well.
Therefore, what we have ahead of us is the new president must convince the American public that without spending, we are going to be elbowed aside. What is the future without the spending, John?
Well, I think we're going to get pressed on too many fronts, and we're not going to be able to respond, which really ties into my second recommendation, which is we need to build back up our system of alliances. We think of NATO as the most important alliance, and it is, but we need repairs in NATO. We need our allies to increase their spending. We need people like French President Macron to stop splitting the alliance in public, as he's done several times during his presidency. We need to build up structures of collective self-defense in the Indo-Pacific to embed Taiwan into with other states like South Korea, Japan, the United States, Australia, to contain China as it presses and tries to expand along its periphery. There's a lot of diplomatic work here. And the reason is the right allies are force multipliers. So we don't have to do everything. We don't have to make all the expenditures. We've got allies who need to band together with us who will do their fair share.
You mentioned a NATO, a global NATO. Is that in the wind, John? Is that being discussed, say, in India?
Well, this is an idea really from former Spanish Prime Minister Jose Maria Aznar to take NATO global, to include Japan, Singapore, Israel, Australia. I think that's an excellent idea. Whether the Europeans, you know, whether the French will go along with that, for example, is a tough question. But I think we've got to start talking about these kinds of creative approaches because the burden of defending against Sino-Russian expansionism and belligerence really is going to take a lot of countervailing strength.
What is the Proliferation Security Initiative? The reason I ask particularly, John, is that's the first time I reported on the activities of John Bolton. What did you do, John?
Well, it was an effort during the George W. Bush administration to contain international trafficking in weapons and materials of mass destruction, to stop the proliferation networks like AQ Khans of Pakistan from giving plans and capabilities of uranium enrichment to nuclear weapons design to the likes of Libya, Iran, and North Korea, three of his big customers. It was a success. We had over 100 nations participating in it, but it's kind of fallen by the wayside. I think it's time to pick that back up, because China and Russia benefit from nuclear proliferation. The terrorists would benefit from it. So we need to make sure we cover that ground as carefully as we can.
Is AUKUS a model for other states to enter into? Can AUKUS grow?
Well, I think it can, and I think it can be replicated with other combinations of powers. This is what I mean by coming up with creative collective defense solutions. So in AUKUS, you have Australia, the United Kingdom, the United States, building 10, 12 nuclear-powered hunter-killer submarines for the Australians to deploy in the Indian and Pacific Oceans. Surely the Japanese, it's only a matter of time before they say, we'd like to get into that activity as well. Their prime minister a few months ago pledged that Japan would double its defense budget to get it up to NATO levels in the next 5 years. I think Japan is going to have to go even further than that. But certainly with that kind of major expansion, I think they would want to get into these kinds of arrangements. Same for South Korea, certainly the same for Taiwan.
To split the Russia-China axis, what is it, John? How do you measure the conversations between Mr. Putin and Xi Jinping?
Well, I think this is probably as close as they've been since the 1950s, with one major difference, and that is that China is the senior partner, Russia very much the junior partner. In these leaked documents that have gotten so much attention, there's a report that Xi agreed to give Putin weapons to use in the Ukraine. They were going to try and keep it secret from us. But China is the dominant partner, and it's very much in America's interest to find a way to split Russia from China. I don't see how we can do that or take any practical steps to that end as long as the war in Ukraine is going on. But once it's over, I think we've got to get on that as one of our highest strategic priorities, because if China gains dominance over, particularly over Russian Asia, with all of that incalculable potential mineral wealth under the soil, you could see the Russian Federation break up like the Soviet Union did. And I'm afraid large chunks of it would fall directly under Chinese sovereignty, or certainly under Chinese hegemony.
January of 2025 is a long way from now, John. Can the Biden administration move on these things now?
Well, I'm biting my fingernails because I don't think they are. I think they're asleep at the switch. We see China negotiating deals between Saudi Arabia and Iran, obviously the aid they're giving to the Russians in connection with the Ukraine war, the threats that they're overtly making around Taiwan, blockading the island or showing how they could blockade the island. What I'm hoping is that in the run-up to the 2024 presidential election, which will decide who does take the presidency when the 75th anniversary comes up, that we can talk about all of the many, many issues that really a comprehensive strategy for the rest of the century requires. I've given a few ideas to get the ball rolling, but there's certainly a lot more that needs to be done.
What you mean is that you want to hear this debated before the American people. Is that right, John?
I think the stakes are very high. I think the American people should be treated as adults. They should be told what the threats are. And the candidates should say what we need to do to protect ourselves and our posterity against those threats. We have not had enough debate on national security issues in recent presidential election. I'm afraid that shows.
John Bolton, the author of The Room Where It Happened, a White House memoir. I'm John Bachman.